Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for this evening, north winds 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, and west swells 4 to 6 feet every 14 seconds. It's currently 55 degrees outside KSCO studios. The time is now 5:06. Coming up next, it's hour number one of The Way of Love, live right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
It's the way of love, live. The variety show committed to bringing you positive stories and life-affirming messages.
Combined with enough inspirational music and satirical comedy to make it worth everyone's while.
With informative interviews and dynamic guests, we present the best of what our global community has to offer.
We're going to do what I like to do. As you know, I like to mix it up sometimes. And that includes bringing a little classical music into it. And so I have some classical composers and some waltz creators that were born on this day. And as we go into our main topic of this first hour, Isadora Duncan. We're going to be hearing some of those special musical creations on the piano that helped found a lot of what dance and culture would become in the 20th century. And in support of Isadora Duncan, we have a couple very special guests. I'm very happy to welcome into the studio here Nancy Macy. And on the phone, we're going to be having Lois Flood, who's putting on a show coming up very soon, January 12th, or 19th, excuse me, at the Ben Lomond Park Hall, Sunday, January 19th, 7 p.m. And so, Nancy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So we have a lot of fun on this show, and we just do a lot of inspirational things, and we look at synchronicities that occur in thought and in creation and the various levels of creativity that we can bring to any enterprise. And that's why I love Isadora Duncan, because she brought so many different forms together, not just music, not just dance, but poetry and film, photography, all kinds of things. What, and you're telling me she's a California native, an authentic California native.
Yeah, she was born in San Francisco, and she spent a lot of time in California, and she had an incredible reception here because California is a little bit more free-thinking than many other areas. But she also found friends and support in France and even in communist Russia.
Now, this is a special show that's being put on at the Park Hall, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
It is an unusual one-person show of just the kind of show I like, actually.
Yeah.
I like to see, and that's not saying anything, because Park Hall has been putting on some great shows for a long time,
yeah.
Right? And we've had a lot of people come on here and talk about their stuff, but this is very hip. This is very modern theatrical. This is what's going on in New York and San Francisco.
Well, it's a wonderful program that Lois Ann Flood, who actually lives in Danville, puts on and has been doing for about 20 years. Over 20 years, and she, with a delightful poet, Marjorie Lynn Wagner, will be going over Isadora's life and times, and then in between performing the actual dances that Lois has researched. And so she's basically channeling Isadora and creating a remarkable program of interest to all ages. It's excellent for history buffs, dance lovers, and, of course, supporters of women's issues, because she is such an icon of freedom for women.
She is. And we're going to be going into our official programming about Isadora Duncan soon. But first I wanted to say hello to Lois, who I believe is on the line now. You there, Lois?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to share the life and art of one of our most important icons of California history, Isadora Duncan, with your listeners. This is really terrific. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. We are very honored to have you both performing this in our community and coming on our show to discuss it, so that we can really explore the life of this amazing California icon. And we're very happy to be here, and I've made some interesting music choices based on what we discussed before. And so for the rest of the hour and a little bit more, we're going to be talking with Lois and with Nancy, and talking all about the show and getting as deeply as we can into the life of Isadora Duncan. Right now, we're still celebrating the birthday. This is one of the things we do, Lois and Nancy, at the top of the show, is that we celebrate people who are born on that day. And so we have been playing just one of my favorites, Robert Earl Keen. And we have a couple other blues artists and other related artists who are all born on this day. But I had some that I wanted to go out with here before we go out to our first commercial break, which is some classical music. Now, you said I got some of the basic ones you told me to get, right, which were I've got Chopin and Schubert. And but I also went and wanted to follow some synchronicities here. So I got some unusual ones as well. And that was one who was born on this date in 1856, a Norwegian composer, Christian Sinding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to just play that music here as we, because for the first part of the show, we bring out how all the connections in life extend very beautifully like a fractal if you merely recognize them and honor them. And so we honor the people who did good things and were born on various days, and in important ways show people that every day is potentially a transformative day. And this is one of the ways that we serve our community, both online and here in Santa Cruz. So I want to say you can call in. It's 831-479-1080. You can follow us at itsthewayoflove.com and at itsthewayoflove on Twitter. And we welcome everybody on this show because it's a community expressing our interest in the way of love, which is people doing what they love to make the world a better place. And so many works are a work of love. And here is one that's a famous one by Christian Sinding that is called The Rustling of Spring, The Rustle of Spring. And this is kind of what's happening here in Santa Cruz now. We're starting to hear the beginnings of it. And this reminded me of so much of Isadora Duncan, because it was that subtle piano stirrings of nature and yet corporeal and ethereal themes combined together.
Wonderful.
And so...
It's wonderful, yeah.
So we're going to crossfade into that, just as Robert Earl Keen. And see, isn't that magical? I planned it all.
Oh, that's way. Wonderful, yeah.
Here we go. It was trying. Well, as we go ahead, I just want to say, let yourself be transported into a place where movement, sound, word, thought, gesture all come together. This is Christian Sinding, born on January 11th, 1856, The Rustling of Spring. And we're going to be talking with Lois Flood and Nancy Macy about the historic cultural pioneer Isadora Duncan. Welcome, ladies, to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is It's the Way of Love Live, bringing you the power of consciousness through culture. And streaming now live at KSCO.com. We'll be right back after these important messages. Stay tuned. Everything I play for a reason. And this one has a big reason, a big one. And that's because this one song was produced by a surprising person. You might think it's U2, but it's not. This is produced by Mary J. Blige, who you hear singing in the background. And this is a woman who was born on this day, 1971. Happy birthday, Mary J. Blige. And And she's done a lot of things, and we'll be listening to her because I want to talk about transformative women and women transforming culture. We all know that they are the creators of culture, that that's where we all come from. But in our culture, particularly in the 20th century and thankfully in the Western world, but all around the world, we've had transformative women making a difference. In this history, for example, on this date in 1936, Amelia Earhart was the first person, not the first woman, the first person to fly solo from Hawaii to California. She landed in California on January 11th, 1936. And some people don't realize what a big event this was. And this is what really cemented her in history. Not just the fact that she was lost, but that she was the first person to make this what they kind of knew was a very important flight. They even then knew that something about flying from Hawaii to California was monumental. And she was the first person to do it, and of course that's where she then kept pushing and kept pushing. But every day can be a transformative day, and any person can be a transformative person. And so there's a lot of other things we'd like to point out, and we'll be bringing back throughout the program. One I'd like to say too is happy birthday to the Grand Canyon. That's right. The Grand Canyon National Monument was declared on this day, January 11th, 1908. So the Grand Canyon is 106 years old. Yes, well, it's actually... We are enjoying wishing a modern happy birthday to an ancient monument in the heart of our country, the Grand Canyon. But the National Monument Program and the National Park Program are a key part of what keeps these places available to later generations and to our children's children. So those are important things to celebrate. But in California, culture and conservation has always been tied with the performing arts. And the performing arts has been tied with the word of art. And that has been tied with photography. And I think nobody better exemplifies this than Isadora Duncan. And Lois Flood, thank you so much. It's an honor both that you are doing this work and that you're bringing it here on the program. And so we're so happy to have both of you ladies here discussing the life of this amazing woman.
Well, thank you very much.
So we're going to crossfade now back to the classical waltzes as we discuss officially the work that she did, because you were telling me a little bit of the work where she, in fact, would train to Schubert waltzes, but then and Chopin etudes. And so what do you choose to dance to?
Well, first I'd like to say that Isadora Duncan is a California native daughter. She was born in San Francisco and she was raised in Oakland. She was raised pretty much in poverty, but her mother was very rich in culture. And so even though the family was very poor, the mother introduced classical music to the children, poetry. She read Shakespeare. So these children were raised with this very rich, unusual culture. The Oakland area was very rural at the time, and the natural beauty of Oakland and California was a great influence on Isadora. Isadora said, "I am inspired by the movement of the trees, the waves, the snow, like the connection of passion and storm, between the breeze and the gentleness of it all, of nature." Nature was one of her greatest inspirations.
Indeed.
Another great inspiration that Isadora had was, at the time that Isadora was a young woman, Greek ideals were very, very popular. So Isadora took a lot of her inspiration by drawing, looking. No, she didn't draw, but she watched and she looked and she studied Greek art and Greek sculpture. And she used these gestures and movements in her dance. She combined natural movement and she sort of was inspired by the Greek art and Greek sculpture. She was also the very first person of her generation to dance to the great masters of classical music, Chopin, Schubert, Gluck.
So just as you mentioned that, I bring on Chopin now with one of his most popular etudes.
Yes, and that's there. She created many dances to the etudes. But during Isadora's time, nobody ever danced to Chopin. The ballet people danced to music that was written for the ballet, such as the Nutcracker, Tchaikovsky,
right.
Swan Lake. Isadora came along and said, I'm going to free the woman, I'm going to free the body, I'm taking off the ballet slippers, the tutu, I am going to create this expressive dance that starts where? In my solar plexus. That's where my motor is. That's where the feeling starts. That was so new,
yes.
It had never been said, it had never been done before. She took off the ballet slippers and tutu and started this new, fabulous, new dance.
You know, and I've posted several photos, actually, that demonstrate it quite well on our Facebook page and on our Twitter site. So you can go to facebook.com/itsthewayoflove or go to our Twitter site, and you can see these photos, and they're really spectacular because they look like they could be of a person from California at any time, really. Very contemporary.
Right.
But very mystical, very grand.
Right. All of her movements were reaching up to the heavens. Isadora was always about triumph of the human spirit. Something is resolved in beauty. You're never left thwarted or undone. You may die on stage, but it's always a triumphant end of joy, of purpose. The dance is always positive. It's a very beautiful, beautiful dance. And, you know, many people have asked me, well, why are you doing these historical dances? And it's because it still moves people. When people see
Absolutely.
These beautiful gestures and movements, they're still moved. I would just like to read this one quote by Isadora.
Please, please do. Are you still there, Lois? Okay, we seem to have lost her for a moment, but hopefully she will call back, or she'll come back on the line. But with some of that amazing poetry from Isadora. But I just want to remind everybody that this is a very special performance that's going to be coming up Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. at Park Hall. And I have to stress, Nancy, I think this is so special that this is free.
Yes. The Valley Women's Club wants to provide important things to the community.
Yes.
We run the recycling centers. We put on the Redwood Mountain Fair. We have a very strong environmental committee. We give scholarships to kids going to Cabrillo from SLV High, all sorts of things. And because the Women's Issues Committee has been involved in things like back in the 90s, going to the Beijing Conference on Women, the United Nations Conference on Women back in 1995, helping research and write the very recent project on the status of women and girls in Santa Cruz County, and helping get that implemented as a real program in the county.
And I have to say,
it's very exciting to do something like this.
Yes, I mean,
to bring art.
A real core part of the community too. Unlike so many nonprofits, all those groups from, you know, the Storm of 82, which was the inception of a lot of the groups and coming together and making such a difference. And thank you for bringing the Redwood Mountain Fair back too, amongst other things.
Yeah, but it was a good group working on that.
So this represents a slightly different approach for the Park Hall, doesn't it? A slightly more open and different sort of production scheduling coming up?
Yeah, I believe Park Hall is really reaching out to the community, saying we're a place where you can do things, where you can put things on.
Mm-hmm.
The San Lorenzo Valley Historical Museum has put on programs there, and it's wonderful to have something as creative and unusual as this available at a very reasonable cost, so that the Valley Women's Club can put it on for free.
And this is really unbelievable that any production could be had in any community for free. But in a place like, you know, Ben Lomond, that shows real commitment. And I think, you know, that's a ticket that you just can't beat. And so we really wanted to support it here for the same reasons.
Thank you.
That really this is stuff that everyone should know about. This is a person that everyone should be familiar and proud was one of our native Northern California pioneers.
Yes. Very exciting to have Isadora on stage in the form of Lois Flood, because she's worked so hard and studied so long and truly understands and cherishes the concept of Isadora and her life and her dance. So it's very exciting.
Now, Isadora, she came here from Northern California, and she was definitely very much a free thinker, but she became an international sensation.
Exactly.
And so where did she go after, you know, California? What was her trajectory in terms of her shooting star?
She first went to Europe, and she was very popular in France.
Mm-hmm.
Many artists cherished her, among them Rodin.
Mm-hmm.
There are many statues that Rodin did of Isadora.
Right.
He found her a great inspiration. And she opened her dance schools there. And people flocked and brought their children there so that they could learn to move their bodies and have that same kind of freedom. They admired it.
How amazing.
Yeah, it's very exciting to see what she's done. She was in New York, California, France, and then later on, after she'd had a children of her own and tragically lost two children in a horrible car accident, she went to Russia, and this was communist Russia, after the czars were expelled, and she fell in love with a Russian poet who was much younger than she, and he is the only person she actually married.
Really? And who is that? Which Russian poet?
I'll have to think of his name just a minute.
Oh, that's okay. Well, Lois, are you not there still? No, apparently not. Well, if you can, do call back if you can hear us. Keep trying. And otherwise, we're going to, of course, keep on with the multimedia show of our own about Isadora Duncan. Now, it's fascinating to me, of course, once again, that she inspired Rodin, one of my favorite sculptors.
Absolutely.
Which shows, to me, is another form of kind of, you know, a cross-medium inspire.
Exactly.
You know, that someone who somehow touched some deep chord that wasn't just about dance,
mm-hmm.
but it was more about the moment and more about a social expression. And you can see it in all of the pictures. So I wanted to send our listeners again to our website and the Facebook.com page, because these pictures really are spectacular, showing just the sort of natural energy. It's not the same stilted beauty that you might see with a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's a very just a powerful expression that really seems to be mostly coming from within.
Exactly. She believed her body was her temple. She believed in free love and good music. She believed in bare feet, comfy clothing. She was just a remarkable person. And to have rejected the corsets and restrictions, both in clothing and in behavior, was very brave of her at the time. And she's someone we can emulate in that respect.
Yes, and there's a way, too, where it sometimes it seems, you know, some of our best and brightest get swept away by the world, and they become mired in reaction and counter-reaction, and, you know, the life of the greatest pioneers always have their detractors and their reflectors and refractors and the supporters that always seem to surround somebody who is truly revolutionary. And so she must have had some difficulties in her life, too.
She did. She was heartily condemned by people who found her free love and mm-hmm. Not her unwillingness to marry as abhorrent. And but she really indulged in her own relaxed and sort of idiosyncratic style. Both in her life and how she lived. But she was a loving, caring mother.
How many kids do you
have? She had three children.
Three children.
And two were tragically killed very young, and she was able to go on past that and carry on. And she had many tragedies in her life. The one man she married, the Russian poet whose name I apologize, I can't not remember.
That's all right.
Actually committed suicide. And so, you know, she had a lot of tragedy in her life. And, of course, how she died in itself was a tragedy.
Yes, and the show is even booked in the first line. I see it says, and revolutionary private life, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that's something that would be even something we're more familiar with in the 21st century, but how someone's private life could become so starkly and tragically public and known because of how loved and known they are as a person.
Exactly, and that was... You know, it was before television. It was before, radio was probably just beginning, but
right.
it was by word of mouth, and it was
right, and by eye, and
yeah.
people seeing and flocking
people coming
and knowing, yeah,
and watching and enjoying mm-hmm. it, and then spreading the word.
And so, tell us about about her final death and the circumstances surrounding that.
Part of Lois's dance technique and style, personal clothing style, was flowing fabrics, beautiful scarves. Scarves were literally her dance partner, and Lois
so
captures this.
Lois
and you see that in the pictures. Absolutely.
In the show.
Right. And
and that's because it's, you know, how do you, you know, I just want to read for everybody the description of the show. In addition to her remarkable career and revolutionary private life, we have a narration on Isadora's life and times, authentic dances and authentic costuming, and enjoyment for history buffs, dance lovers, and supporters of women's issues. So that is enough for anyone. And I would pay to go see that, but, and you know, I almost want to say, you know, put like a sliding scale donation if you have to. If some people think things need to cost money to be important, this one, I tell you, would be many, many dollars, but it's free and very graciously brought to you by the Valley Women's Clubs and the Women's Issues Committee. And so I think it's very important that we discuss all of these issues, and we'll continue the discussion about Isadora and all the important things on this day on It's the Way of Love Live, KSCO Santa Cruz, January 11th, 2014. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's the Way of Love Live, and I believe we have Lois Flood back again on the line. Lois, are you there?
Great, yes, yes. I would just like to just describe the program just briefly.
Yes, and you were about to read some poetry, too, which I was so much looking forward to. Do you still have that poetry? How about we read the poetry and then you describe the program?
Well, the narrator that will participate in the program with me, she will read quotes by famous people who saw Isadora dance, such as Rodin. Rodin said Isadora was his greatest influence, and Lenin said bravo.
Right.
Carl Sandburg wrote this short, it's not a poem, but it's a short few words about Isadora. The wind, I am the wind, the sea and the moon. I am the sea and the moon. Tears, pain, birds, flight, I am all of them. I dance what I am. That was Carl Sandburg.
That's perfect.
So the program consists of Marjorie Lynn Wagner. She will read a few of these quotes. They last, her reading lasts about 4 or 5 minutes. The program is fast paced. I divide the program to lyrical dances, dramatic dances, and heroic dances. Each dance, which the audience loves, is short. Each dance is under 4 minutes. So I always like to mention, if you don't like one dance, there'll be one soon after this. It only lasts less than 4 minutes. The music Isadora chose is all exquisite music, and her dances all tell a story. She was very much steeped in Greek myth and Greek culture, so sometimes she draws from the Greek myths and the dances will tell the story. For example, I open the program with a dance called Narcissus, and it tells briefly the story of Narcissus. It's a Chopin waltz. The children love this program because it is fast-paced. They love the colorful costumes. They love the expression. I use a little mime in the dance, which Isadora used. As long as it's used tastefully, it can be wonderful.
Oh, yes.
And I end the program with a very special dance that Isadora said most expressed her soul, and we call it the Rose Petals. And the Rose Petals is a Brahms waltz, and it's just very beautiful. I don't try to be Isadora. I am just showing you a glimpse of what Isadora left us. These are dances that she created between 1905 and 1923. And the way we learned them is we had to, most of the Duncan dancers had to travel to New York or Paris.
Really?
Or San Francisco and study with the second generation of Duncan dancers that were actually in Isadora's daughter's companies in New York. And that's basically how this dance is passed on. It's passed on from, as old stories are passed on verbally, well, this is passed on from one teacher to another. And that's really the only way to really learn this style of dance. Some people try to learn it from video, but it generally isn't, it isn't that successful. So this program, again, it does appeal to children if children want to come. Seniors love it. It's very reminiscent of what a lot of seniors did in college. It was very popular in the 40s to be doing, oh, that music. I have to pause.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Talk about capturing the soul.
Yes, that is, we would use that in our class for gestural work. Isadora was very much inspired by Del Sarte. And we use gesture to express the human soul, to express the spirit of the universal feeling of life through dance. She was world-renowned not only as a dancer, but as this living symbol of revolt, revolution, and women's emancipation.
Hear, hear.
Yay. And she's from California, and she's,
yes,
part of our history. Yay. Which is very important, especially for the young women and women to know this.
You know, and I like to point out, too, that she represents something that became global, which is sort of an understanding again of the earth and nature as sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Earth.
Right.
And a return to, in some of the ways, you know, some of the mythic pagan roots, but also, I think, just acknowledging the beauty of the natural form.
Exactly. She connected the female body, the restrictions that women put on themselves with dieting, with the corsets of the day.
Right.
She was very much into the nature, the natural movement, the expression. And when you see a Duncan dancer, she reveals herself, because that's what this dance is about. It's about expression of the soul and nature and the connection with the earth. And one thing I do want to say, Isadora was the first dancer to say that our bodies move like a wave. And since you're so close to the ocean, and most of California is,
yes,
it's a very much part of our culture and our being, is to move like a wave. And when we learn to do that, we free our feelings and our expression to connect with one another in a more real, honest way.
The symbolism of dancing in bare feet, I think, is very, mm-hmm, profound, because she's actually in contact with the earth.
Exactly.
And it's a physical contact.
And you can imagine, at that time when Isadora became a dancer, the only style of dance, classical dance, that was popular was ballet. And
right,
she tried ballet, and the ballet slippers, she said, she took off the ballet slippers and the tutu, and she was the first to say, free the body, you free the woman, you free the soul, you feel free the expression. You can be expressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you aware, this is a very appropriate show for Park Hall. and for Ben Lohman in this community in general. But you've done this show in a lot of different places, right?
Yes, I have. I take this program wherever I can. I am a big believer in trying to, to introduce people to the great Isadora. I go to libraries, colleges, museums. I am also a peace activist. I have raised funds I actually was one of the founding people of the Crosses of Lafayette. That was my last major project. I don't know if you've ever been there, and I've danced there, and I've presented different programs at the Crosses, which is a magnificent, very sacred place, and it's still standing. And it's so I have done benefits for peace concerts. I've actually even taken this program to women's prisons.
Really?
And you know, the question that people always ask me, well, why would you go to a woman's prison? And my answer is, when you uplift the human spirit and you present something beautiful, it appeals to anyone. And the women, I honestly have to say, they loved Isadora Duncan dance. Believe it or not, it was really wonderful to see.
I believe it, and I think it's really wonderful that you're bringing it here to our community. And now,
and I do conclude the program with a question and answer. So, if anyone has any questions about the costumes, how are they made, where I learned the dances, something about Isadora. Now you're playing Scriabin. That's beautiful.
This was another one I chose specifically for you, and you said I could get creative.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's just so Isadora.
I really do feel inspired. I feel the inspiration of this woman and that this show is coming to our community. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you, Lois, to give us your perspective on our particular theme on this show. This is something that we do with a lot of our guests who are inspired in such a way, and we ask them, what would you say is the way of love for you?
Well, the way of love for me is to bring beauty and truth through my dance to anyone who is there participating with me at this moment of art and expression. I cannot do this alone. This is a two-way operation or endeavor. So when I dance and express my love and my honesty and universal feelings that we all have of love and passion and sorrow, it is a way I communicate by bringing this to remind us all that we are all in this together. We all have similar feelings, and it can be expressed beautifully through dance.
Mm-hmm.
That brings tears to my eyes, Lois.
Nancy is here crying in the studio.
Nancy, you're wonderful. Thank you.
And there are other listeners out there who are equally moved, I'm sure. You know, part of the magic of any consciousness, any thought, and I think this is part of the magic of Isadora Duncan, that as soon as anyone shares an idea, as soon as anyone shares a movement, a dance, a gesture, a perspective, and that's part of the way of love here on this radio station, is that every thought that we can share, every person that we can help listen and just think a little bit, is in itself a gift to all of humanity. And so we really celebrate all the Isadora Duncans out there and all the Lois Floods and all the Nancy Macy's because it's about people keeping it alive as well as the life that was lived. And that's what I have to say, Lois. It's wonderful that someone like Isadora Duncan lived and had her beautiful, inspiring life. But it's equally wonderful to me that you, Lois Flood, live and devote your life to sharing and remembering those spectacular inspirations.
Well, thank you very, very much. And thank you for this opportunity to share this work. And I do hope that people attend just for the total experience of taking you to the past, to when things were simpler and more connected and more expressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not more expressive, but very expressive.
Now, we've been listening to the music, and we've talked a lot about her life in terms of Rodin and other artists, but she must have had some intimate relationship with musicians as well, right?
Well, yeah, she had a relationship, not a physical relationship, with Wagner.
Uh-huh.
She loved Wagner's music, and she created some pieces to Wagner. But mostly, she was drawn, painted, written about by almost all of the great artists of her time: Bordel, José Clara, Rodin. The great artists of her time wrote about her, painted her, drew her. So she was connected to many of the great artists of her time.
She inspired art in others, which is even more remarkable.
Right. Bordel and José Clara, they did beautiful sketches of her. Walkowitz, I know many of you know who Walkowitz was. He was
right.
A famous artist. He drew so many sketches, paintings of Isadora, and they're all just exquisite little jewels. I just want to say that Isadora was so well known in mostly in Europe, that she filled opera houses.
Right.
Can you imagine a solo dancer filling an opera house of over 3,000 people?
Especially with the extraordinarily simple staging.
That's right.
She was there alone on the stage. There weren't props. There weren't special effects. There was nobody flying across, you know, on wires.
Right. She said one human being, one soul can express universal feelings just without the stage sets or the props or anything. You're exactly right, Nancy.
It's so remarkable because she came from the Victorian era. She was born in 1878. Her life, she was more poor, but the culture of the time was to have all sorts of furniture and knickknacks and things surrounding you, and the staging of the era was very elaborate, and she just rejected all of that. She said, you know, make it simple. It's just going to be natural light. It's just going to be me on the stage. And her soul
and
motivated people.
Right. A very good book, if anyone is interested in reading about Isadora. My favorite is Peter Kurth's book, and his name is spelled K-U-R-T-H, and the name of the book is Isadora, A Sensational Life, and it's very well written, and it has lots of really good information, and it's a pleasure to read. I don't know if anyone realizes that there are more books written about Isadora than any woman living or not living.
Really?
And every couple of years a new book comes out about Isadora and her life.
I had no idea.
I imagine also, you know, art, poetry, everything, you know. And now let me ask you this. Did she find what she was looking for? In her life and all that she had, family, friends,
Isadora had a very complicated life.
Yes.
She had lots of tragedy, and she had lots of great achievements.
Right.
Many people know that she lost her children.
Yes.
In 1913 in an automobile accident.
Right.
And that changed. After 1913, her dance changed. Her dance became very, very different. And I will show one of those dances at the program. My program will be mostly uplifting and positive and to lift the human spirit. And some of these are, the darker dances are good to show maybe one or two at the most. But Did she? I think she did. I think she did. I think it's very complicated.
Yes.
I think she left a legacy
yes.
that will live on through the dance and
no
through
doubt.
The philosophy of her dance, which is connect with nature, connect with your spirit, connect with who you are, and dance who you are.
I think it will live on, Lois, and I have to say, I want this conversation to live on past the hour. So if you'll please, both of you, just stay for a little bit. We're about to go to news at the top of the hour. Can you stay for a little bit, Lois?
Yes, and thank you again for this wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely, and we'll just discuss a little bit more about this amazing free show coming up, and then we'll have the music of Acoustic Shadows after the hour on
wonderful.
It's a Way of Love Live on KSCO Santa Cruz, 1080 AM. We'll be right back after these important messages.